and just all that, and we thank each of you, you know, for what you do. Brother Billy asked me to say something today, and I got to thinking about what I was going to say. I didn't know that what Dr. John was going to preach on this morning, so actually a lot of the notes that I wrote down are kind of a repeat of some of the things that he had said. But as I started thinking about the day in which we live in, and you know, knowing that I was going to be sharing a devotion here with leaders and pastors, and thinking about what I was going to say, you know, we live in a day where sin is rampant. There is an exodus from the church of our young people, and when you look at polls that where they've polled these young people to try to find out, you know, why they're leaving the church. These young people tell them they're leaving because of intellectual skepticism. In other words, they doubt. They have doubts, and they're leaving because, in my mind, they don't think that Christianity is true. They don't believe what we're telling them and what we're saying to them. When you think about that, when you think about the church today, and you look at what's going on in the church today, I ask the question, should they believe us? You know, should they believe what the church is telling them? Because, you know, the fact of the matter is that what we say with our mouths, if it's not reflected with our lives, it's meaningless. And, you know, our children are leaving because they don't see the godliness and the holiness in the leadership of the church. And so it causes doubt in their mind as to whether or not what we say about living holy and living a life that's pleasing to God and living a life of service that's, you know, out of obedience to God's Word and through His heart to His people. You know, these things, you know, they're looking at us as examples. And so, you know, when I thought about some of the things that I wanted to say, I thought about all the scandals that I've been reading, you know, about leaders and leaders of churches and leaders of denominations and things where they've fallen into immorality and sexual sin, and even some of the sinfulness of these leaders have even been illegal. So, you know, such a disgrace that they would be put in prison or go to court over things that they've done that were unholy, you know, ungodly. And I think the truth is that in order for the churches today, with the changes that are going on in the churches today, let me just say that, to try to meet felt needs, we've changed. The church has started to change and started to water down the gospel to meet the needs of people so that they can be happy and that they can feel comfortable with their sinfulness. You know, the truth is that you can't preach the truth and not offend sinners. You know, when we preach the truth of the gospel and when we preach the truth of repentance, you know, it's going to offend people who are living in sin. And so you can't continue to preach holiness and preach repentance without being offensive if somebody's not living their life holy and not living like God wants them to be living. And so I've heard all kinds of fine sounding arguments to promote the feel good gospel of our day. And some of the things I heard was, you know, we don't want to alienate anybody. Those are some of the types of arguments you hear. Maybe you've heard this one. We want love and harmony. Everybody just to get along. And another one I heard, we're doing it to save people. And I've seen a lot of evil being promoted in our day because they say they're doing it to save people. And I ask you today, can you save anybody? Can you really save anybody if they don't hear the whole truth, the whole gospel? You know, the superficial things, you know, the emotional stirs and the coming, you know, maybe even a truly somebody coming to know the Lord as their Savior without having the whole counsel of God and the whole truth, you know, where are they going to end up? You know, what kind of guidance, what kind of direction, what kind of discipleship are they going to have if we can't share the whole truth with them? There can't be true unity or harmony apart from the truth. And you can. And I ask you this question. Can you teach the truth about sin and sinners and not offend somebody? You just can't. I just don't believe you can. There's a moral epidemic going on in our world today. There truly is. I think the reason that it exists is because holiness has become a forgotten concept. We've forgotten that God has called us to be holy. You know, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. The only those that are pure in heart will see God. And we have to come back to that place of preaching holiness and teaching holiness and repentance and realizing that we can't lead somebody to a place of coming to a right relationship with the Lord unless we preach sin and repentance. They must know their condition before God and that they stand condemned. They must know that. And I say, you know, that a lot of times the problems that we have in our day is the fault of the church. It's the fault of the church. We've tried to appease people. We've tried to not offend anybody. And in doing so, the message of the gospel has been watered down. It has been watered down. And I believe it's our fault. The message of holiness is needed. It's needed tremendously in our day. And I want to share just seven basic principles, I believe, that will help us as God's leaders to stay pure. The first one is, and I got these from a guy, I was reading an article somebody sent me in an email, and he had these seven things, and I don't share them like he did. I use them differently, but I like his ideas. This first one is, practice regular fire drills. How many of us, whenever we have an emergency happen, whether it's a fire or an earthquake or whatever may come our way, want to be prepared? I think it's important, it's very important, that we are prepared when emergencies come. We need to practice regular fire drills. Be ready when temptation comes our way to know how to escape, to know where the feet of Jesus is, where we can go in prayer, where we can draw near to Him and ask for His guidance and directions. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able to bear, and He always provides a way of escape. But how many of us, when we get in the moment of temptation, go to Him for that way of escape? We need to be seeking God's face. We need to be on our knees in prayer. The Bible tells us that we should flee from youthful lust, that we should resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. There's actions that we should take when temptation comes, whether it's from the flesh, the devil, or our own lust. There's things that we should be putting into place. We should be applying and learning and preparing for those things now. Now's the time. Not when you're in the midst of temptation, not when you're in the midst of despair. Not in those times, but now. Now's the time of preparation. The next one that he gave that I like was, don't live in isolation. A lot of us, when we have hard times, when times are hard, we want to isolate ourselves. It's the worst thing we can do. We need God's people around us to encourage us. I mean, whenever, you know, I share this a lot with people that are going through cancer, things of that nature. It's easy to isolate yourself, to push people out and to get depressed and to get down in the dumps and in the dirt. But look, that's why God has encouraged us to be around other people. And I think we get vulnerable, you know, and we get vulnerable when we get alone and we start to contemplate, you know, how down and how bad we got it. We need to think about God's goodness. I preached a message not too long ago, but we were talking in our church about spiritual safeguards. And one of the spiritual safeguards I shared was to always be rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says to rejoice in the Lord as a spiritual safeguard for your soul. And I told him, I said, if you've got nothing else to rejoice about, rejoice that your name's written in heaven. That's what the Bible tells us. We should be excited about that. It should be a moment of rejoicing for us. The third one is, stay faithful in spiritual disciplines. And I think, you know, nothing makes the heart colder for a believer, somebody who follows Jesus, than to stop having interaction with Him. We stop praying. We stop reading our Bibles. Our heart's going to grow cold. And it's going to grow cold fast. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be spending a lot of time alone with God in prayer, seeking His face. God has designed us to live in community with Him, in perfect, faithful communion. And when we get too busy with our work or with things in our life to pray and to read our Bibles, we've already started to head our lives towards a spiritual wreck. We need to get back on track, refocus ourselves, get back to you know, steady Bible reading, steady prayer, discipline yourself. Number four is, be ruthless with temptation. Be ruthless with temptation. You know, I thought about some of the Christian culture today, you know, that encourages us to be soft towards sin. I don't believe in that. I believe we need to be steadfast in our confrontation of sin, in our own lives and the lives of others, first in your life. You know, you can't confront your brother about his sinfulness if you've got a log in your eye. Take the log out of your eye so that you can properly help your brother. And that's like Brother John was saying, in love. You can't help your brother unless you yourself are disciplined. So start disciplining yourself now in the areas of your weakness and get on your knees and repent and ask for God's help. And, you know, the Bible says that there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We need to be walking after the Spirit of God. Confess your sins regularly is the next one. Confess your sins regularly. The Bible says God resists the proud who can't admit that he sinned, and he gives grace to the humble. We need to be on our knees confessing our sins. I'm reminded of a story about a man who had committed a gross sin. You know, in my estimation, when I go to prisons, I try not to ask people what they did, because sometimes the stories they tell turns you off to them. It makes you, it's hard. They've done some of the people in there have done bad things. Things that we definitely wouldn't approve of. But God loves them. And He wants to save them. He wants to help them. He wants to change their lives. And they can be helped. They're not dead yet. They can be helped. And but I'm reminded of a guy excuse me, who was telling a story. He came up to give a testimony about his life and how, as a grown man, he had molested a child. And and he was telling the story about how, as a child, he was traumatized by some events that had happened to him. And that it had caused him to go into a pattern of fornication, a pattern of sexual sin. And because of that, it led him into this thing that had caused, that he had got caught and he had got in trouble about. And after he shared his weakness, after he came up and gave his testimony, the altar filled up with people that wanted to get their lives right with the Lord. And I want you to know something today. You sharing your testimony, what God's done in your life, it affects other people. You may not always know how, but it does. When they see, you know, and you hear anybody talking about, you know, how we lead our children. You know, we lead our children by example. If we want our children to be repentant, they need to see us repent. They need to see us when we do wrong, to admit that we've done wrong and that we're not afraid to bring it out into the open, so that everybody can see what's going on. The last one I want to talk about is to get regular spiritual checkups. You know, I think, you know, as adults, excuse me, I think, you know, we should all go see the doctor regular. You should go get a checkup, you know, go see the doctor regular. And
I got something in my throat. Sorry.
And we should do that as a preventative. And also, sometimes we need Him as a cure for things that we got wrong. We should get regular spiritual checkups with the Lord. We should always be, you know, opening ourselves up to Him, letting God come in. You know that passage in Psalm 139 where, turn with me there if you will, Psalm 139. A lot of times I quote these passages, but I want you to see this in your Bible. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Sometimes we can't see the thing in us, but God knows it's there. And we know that we feel the conviction. We can't put our finger on it, but God knows and we feel the conviction of it. David went to the Lord and he said, in verse 23 of Psalm 139, he said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." We should be on our knees asking God to search our hearts and to lead us in the way everlasting. Last thing I want to share with you, my time's probably up already. Yeah, it's up. Whenever Jesus was coming down from, you know, into Jerusalem, and he looked down on a people there. Jesus, he shared his longing to protect Israel. And he said something in Matthew 23 and verse 37 about, you know, how he longed to gather his chickens, the chickens, you know, gather Israel like a hen gathers her chickens under her wings for protection and to protect them. And to Not only that, but to prosper them, to prosper Israel. You know, He wanted the benevolent good for His people. It's what God wanted. He wants it for us today. And I pray that when Jesus looks down on the Methodist Protestant Church, that we don't hear the words, OMP Church, OMP Church, how I longed like a hen to gather her chickens. I pray that we would be just right up under His wings. We would always be, you know, seeking His heart and wanting to be close to the heart of God. That He wouldn't have to long for us to come there. That we would come at His beckoning. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You today. We thank You for what You do for us, Lord. And we just thank You that even in a culture, Lord, that's sexually immoral and just, Lord, seems like has gone off the deep end, that You are still real. You can still change, Lord, lives and hearts. And Lord, You're still calling people out and saving people's souls, Lord. We thank You for that. We still see it. We see Your work in people. We see Your work in our own lives. And I pray You just, Lord, do a mighty work in our denomination and through us. Allow us, Lord, to be that light on the hill. And I pray You just continue to prosper and to use us in a mighty way, Lord. Just give us some vigor and some excitement, Lord, that we could just get excited about Your work and what's going on in Your kingdom. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.